Blog Talk Radio.
He
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is January the 24th, year of our Lord 2023, and you are 2024-1-24-23, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. We cordially invite you to come and be present with us in our in-person service. Our service starts each Sunday except for fifth Sunday at 10 a.m. That's each Sunday except for fifth Sunday, 10 a.m. On fifth Sunday, we do come virtual. You can see our worship service on Facebook Live. We like to call your attention to the Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share with others so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. As I said earlier, our Sunday morning service can be seen on Facebook Live at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning. And of course, on the Facebook page, you will also find the call-in number for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now. You'll also find the link for those who would like to hear the Bible study over the internet on your computer. You can do so. There is a link, and you can do that at the Facebook page. One thing about the link on the Facebook page is that you can carry it with you. You can play it over your phone, or you can play it over your computer. You can play it in home, in the car, or wherever you are. All of these programs and all of the Bible studies are archived. That means that you can go back long after they have been recorded, and you can hear whatever Bible study that you would like to hear. Those Bible studies have all been archived, and you can simply go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. Go there. You'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find information about the Wake Baptist Association and the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. So we invite you to go to the Facebook page. You'll find more information there. We want to remind you that there are several ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can simply come to church each Sunday morning and bring your tithes and offering with you. Or you can stop by between the hour of 10 and 11:30 and drop off your tithes or contributions to the church. You can mail them also. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for tithes and offering. And also, you can use the Cash App. We do have a Cash App. Of course, it starts with the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can use the Cash App, and you can be a supporter of the House of God tonight. We want to remind you that this coming Sunday is fifth Sunday. We will not be in the sanctuary. However, you will be able to watch our service on Facebook Live, 10 o'clock this Sunday is fifth Sunday. So we will be going virtual this Sunday. So we invite you to tune in at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning so that you can be abreast and you can be a part of the First Baptist Sunday morning worship service. Stay in touch with us so we can stay in touch with you. Drop us a line in the Facebook page. You can do so in your comments and let us know how you enjoy our program on Sunday morning, how you enjoy our Bible study on Tuesday night. We would love to hear from you. Be a part of the First Baptist community. Of course, we are praying for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the rest home, those who are in the hospital, those who are just going through. There are a lot of people going through right now. We pray God blessing upon you, whatever situation that you find yourself in. We pray God will ease your comfort, give you comfort in your time of need, and ease that guilt or ease that pain that you may be going through right now. So many people are going through something right now, and we just pray that God will continue to strengthen you as you continue to go through it is what it is that you have to go through. Sometimes you got to go through to get to the other side. And that's what it's all about, beloved. Sometimes we don't want to, but sometimes we simply have to go through in order to get to the other side. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the line tonight. We thank you for those who are listening over the internet, for those who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go into our lesson tonight, you'll open our hearts and open our minds. Make us receptive to your words, that we may hear a word from you, that we be able to go into your word tonight and find reasoning for our soul, find comfort for our soul, and to give us encouragement to keep on giving you the praise. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, our lesson tonight comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48, our lesson tonight. We're going to be talking about lead me, guide me. This is our lesson for tonight, coming out of Isaiah 48. We'll go to the third verse to the eighth verse, and then we're going to skip down to the 17th verse. Isaiah 48, starting in the third verse through the eighth verse, and then we'll skip down to the 17th verse. As we study this week's lesson, the entire world is experiencing unprecedented levels of uncertainty and anxiety in life. The United States is seeing extraordinary outbreaks of social unrest, economic issues, and religious hostilities. As a result, Americans, like the vast number of people all over the world, are searching for reassurance that everything is going to be okay. The problem is that many are searching everywhere except the inherent word of God. But even when we do look into the word of God, we try to make it say what it really does not say, just to satisfy our own behavior. As we see in this week's lesson, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah to his people Israel. In their own time of spiritual unrest, God provides words of assurance that he will ultimately be involved in their lives. The same is true for us today. Isaiah, whose name means salvation of the Lord, was the greatest of the writing prophets. According to Isaiah 1:1, he carried his ministry through the reign of four kings in the southern kingdom of Judea. He served under King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He served as God's messenger to Judea for about 60 years, roughly 100 years before Jeremiah, 100 years before Ezekiel, 100 years before Daniel. During this time, Samaria, also known as the northern kingdom of Israel, was carried away by the Assyrian between 722 and 721 BC. And Judea was invaded by Sennacherib of Syria in 701 BC. While the political scene in Judea was different from the one in the northern kingdom of Israel or Syria, the sins of the people were exactly the same. Idol worship, the opposition and marginalization of poor people for gain and business practices that fundamentally threaten God's law. Isaiah's call was to serve as God's messenger before the people of Judea and proclaim their sinful behavior. Later in his ministry, the prophet insisted that his prophecies be recorded for the future generations. "Go now write," he said, "write it on a tablet, that it may be an everlasting witness. For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction." You'll find that in Isaiah 30, 8 through 13. The people's sinfulness was demonstrated by their disregard for God's law and God's covenant claims on them as his people. The prophecies against God's sinful people could be summarized as follows. "If those whom God has called to be his own act as if they are not his people, then they will not be a people at all. Let me repeat that again. If those whom God has called to be his own, if they act as if they are not his people, then they will not be a people at all. In chapter 39, more than 100 years before it happened, Isaiah predicted that Judea would be invaded and taken into captivity to Babylon. In chapter 40, Isaiah prophesied the coming and the mission of John the Baptist. You'll find it in Isaiah 43 and 5. In chapter 43, he prophesied the future redemption and the restoration of Israel. And in Isaiah 45, 1 and 4, the prophet predicted that Cyrus, the future king of Persia, would release a remnant of the captives to return to Israel. In chapter 47, Isaiah prophesied the judgment of Babylon again, even before the nation became a world power, thus revealing God's omnipotence. Our lesson tonight comes from chapter 48. So when we go down to the 48th chapter and verse 3, it says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. In verses 1 and 2, which are not part of our printed text, the Lord begins to speak to Israel, reminding them of the various names they called themselves as God's people. You'll find it in Isaiah 48 and 1. The Lord also acknowledged that identifying themselves as God's people was hypocritical because they didn't act like they were. You'll find it in Isaiah 48, 2. That's why he said the former things. Then in verse to show his contrast between him and idol gods, the Lord first says, I have declared the former things from the beginning. The former things include past prophecies or past events, especially God's abandonment of Israel and Judea as recorded in Isaiah chapters 1 through 35. In other words, everything that happened to Israel from its beginning was prophesied by God before it took place. This includes their bondage in Egypt, as well as their deliverance and the division of land by the tribes in Canaan. The Lord continued to say that all the things he prophesied went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. Since God himself spoke of former things before they happened to his people, the prophecies could be relied upon and trusted because God said, and I showed them, meaning that all the prophecies were verified when they would come to pass. When the people or anyone else least expect the prophecies to come to pass, God said, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. You see, God's prophecies concerning Israel could not be foreseen by anyone except a divine deity. He had declared to Moses, the nation's beginning, that they would eventually suffer in Babylon. You'll find that in Isaiah 39, 6 and 7, as a consequence of their disobedience to him. He also declared that they would return to him and to their own home again. We talked about that on last week's lesson. Therefore, God showed them how he would deal with them long before any of this came to pass. The point here is that if the people compared their present circumstance and the deliverance they had experienced with what was written in the law, they would find that the scriptures were exactly fulfilled. And sometimes we have to do the same thing. We have to compare our present circumstances and then think about all the times that the Lord has delivered us in the past. That gives us confidence to know that he will take care of whatever we're dealing with now. If we remember what he did in the past, it will help us get through what we're going through now. In verse 4, he says, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. Here the Lord gives his reason for declaring that would happen to the people before it occurred. He said, it would happen because I know that thou art obstinate, and that thy neck is an iron sinew, and that thou bow brass. The word obstinate can mean to be stubbornly persistent in wrongdoing, or someone who is resistant to guidance or discipline. Our lesson tonight, lead me, guide me. When someone is obstinate, these are people that you can't guide. These are people that you can't lead. Israel was guilty of both. God knew they were so obstinate and perverse that if he had not supported Israel's circumstances by prophecy, they would have stubbornly denied that God had done it and would have given the credit to their idol gods. God described the people's stubbornness as the neck is of iron sinew. The word sinew refers to muscles. You see, these metaphoric descriptions of Israel's behavior all speak of having a hard heart, one that refuses to obey, one that refuses to take instruction, one that refuses to be guided. Do you know anyone like that today? God knew how fully determined they would be to do that which was hard-hearted. Some people will go out of their way to do evil when they can simply do something good. Let me say that again. Some people will go out of their way to do evil when they can simply do something good. As a result, God gave his people prophecies as well as precepts and laws because of the hardness of their heart. It's true that God uses whatever means he chooses to bring sinners to comply with him, although he knows they are obstinate or hard-hearted. In verse 5, he says, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. Lest thou shouldest say, mine idol have done them, and my graven image and my molten image have commanded them. Here, what God is speaking of here is basically repeating what he said in verse 3, saying, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it to you. In other words, he also gives another reason why he did this. He said, lest thou should say, mine idols have done them, and my graven image and my molten image have commanded them. In other words, God was saying, I told you about these things long before they happened. I did this so that you could say that I was the one that did it, that you could not say that the gods, that those small g gods were the ones, or your idols or your statues made it happen. God anticipated that the people would boast about themselves and their idol gods. So by his prophets, he told them beforehand of their deliverance to prevent them from attributing it to the idols, as if they had commanded them to come to pass. Therefore, it was necessary for God to make sure he received the glory for everything that happened to his people, whether it was good or bad. Graven images refer to idols that are carved out of stone or carved out of wood. They are called graven images. Idols that are carved from stone or carved from wood. Molten images refer to those idols that were made of metal that was melted down when they would melt down different metals, and they would make idol gods out of those metal that they melted down. If the idols had done it, their prophets would have foretold it. But instead, since the prophets of the Lord foretold it, there was no doubt that it was the power of God that brought what came to pass. Verse 6. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. As God continued to speak to his people through the prophet Isaiah, he says, thou hast heard, seen all of these, and will not ye declare it? people had heard of God's prophecies, even the accomplishments of his prophecies. Therefore, they wouldn't know that God's word and his works exactly agree. That being the case, God posed the question, and will ye not declare it? You see, once the people conclude that the prophecies of God totally agree with what actually happened, they should be eager to declare it to others. They should be willing to tell others that the Lord, Jehovah, is the only true God, and that he has the knowledge and the power which no creature has, and which has done what no creature could do. The Israelites, who had dealt so deceitfully with God and preferred themselves before God, should have been eager to declare to God's honor and to their own shame that his words and his works agree complete. Then God said, I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. In other words, God is saying, now I will tell you about new things, some secret things that you have not known before. God will reveal hidden or secret things to his people through his prophets of his own day or of his own time, things that he would create at that time, even though they had not yet happened. These were new things or new prophecies that they could not possibly know anything about it. These new things were also hidden things, which the people could not know, like the prophecies concerning Cyrus in the exact time of their release out of Babylon. Verse 7. They are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou hearest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. This statement was created now and not from the beginning. They were created now and not from the beginning. This most likely refers to the condition of earth during the millennium. God was saying that they are the conditions during the millennium were being created by prophecy at the time and not long ago at Israel's beginning. These were new prophecies. When God said that he was creating at that time through prophecy and being done even before the day when thou hearest them not, meaning before today, you have not heard of them. Again, let me say that again. Even before the day when thou hearest them not, what he's saying is before today, you have not heard of them. Again, the Lord declares why he was creating something new that had not been prophesied before. He said that it was lest thou should say, behold, I knew them. In other words, God was doing these things to keep the people from being full of pride and saying that they already knew new things that the God was creating. There's always somebody who would claim that they knew it before it happened. You ever notice how a lot of prophets will always prophesy something after it happens? They will say, I knew it was going to happen, but very few of them will call it before it happens. And this is what God is trying to convey here, because so many people will come up and say, well, you know, I knew that was going to happen, or I saw that was going to happen, or I felt that was going to happen. And maybe they did, and maybe they didn't. But what God was trying to show the people of Israel is that, you know, I am the one. I am the one that brings new things about. I'm the one that shows you new things. I'm the one that sends prophets to you to let you know about what's going to happen. Verse 8, yea, thou hearest them, hearest not, yea, thou knowest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not open. For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously and was called to transgressor from the womb. But here the Lord says, yea, thou hearest not, yea, thou knowest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not open. God sent his prophets to Israel, but they did not hear them. God sent prophet after prophet. And whenever a prophet died, God would raise up another prophet. And he would send those prophets to his people, but they did not hear. So they would not know, because even from their beginning, their ears were been closed. Then God first said, "For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously." The word treacherously means to deal in a disloyal and faithless manner. God always knows that the people he chose for himself would deal with him very treacherously or in a very disloyal and faithless manner. As a result of how God knew the Israelites would have behaved even before he chose them to be his people, he said that they were called a transgressor from the womb. The word "the womb" refers to Israel's birth as a nation. Ever since they were first formed into a people, the Israelites were prone to idolatry. When they left Egypt, they brought with them strange addictions to sin. And as soon as they began to march to Canaan, they were murmuring and complaining and rebellious. You'll find that throughout the book of Exodus, in the book of Deuteronomy. Even when they reached the border of Canaan, God foresaw their apostasy and declared that they would continue to be transgressors. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 1, 1 and 2. This is applicable to everyone. We are all born children of disobedience. We were all born and can be called transgressors from the womb. Therefore, it's easy to foresee that until we are saved, we will deal treacherously with God and with others. God knows this, and yet because of his grace and his mercy, he does not deal with us as we deserve to be. In verses 9 through 16, which is not part of our story tonight or a part of our study, Israel offered because of his namesake and praises. Then the Lord said that he had chosen Israel in their affliction, which was a preference to Egypt's bondage. In other words, I chose you while you were still in your affliction. Now, skip with me down to verse 17. Go with me down to verse 17. This verse says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou art or should go." Continuing to speak to his people through Isaiah, the prophet used the familiar words in this message, "Thus saith the Lord," reminding the Jews that this message that they were hearing was from himself. The Lord described himself first as their Redeemer. He was the one who brought the nation out of Egypt and would also deliver them from the future Babylonian captivity. Secondly, he described himself as the Holy One of Israel. There is no deception in the Lord, for he is pure and holy and can be trusted. The third description that God applies to himself is, "I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit." The same words, "I am the Lord thy God," introduced the law and gave authority to it, and also here introduces the promise that he teacheth them to profit, giving validity to it. As our Lord and God, he teaches us. He teaches us those things that are profitable or good for us to follow. And no one teaches them like he teaches them. And we can understand it the way he teaches. Finally, God says that he was the one which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. Whether we believe it or not, God never stops leading and never stops guiding his people. He is always present with us. He is committed to teaching us how to live right and revealing to us what to do and where to go. In the midst of our moral and spiritual darkness, we as God's people have not been abandoned. He is still giving us direction through his written word and his Holy Spirit. More than ever, we need to embrace the truth proclaimed in Psalm 32 and 8, when it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the ways in which thou should go. I will guide thee with mine own eye. Those whom God redeems and teaches, and those whom he chooses to deliver out of their affliction, he first teaches them to profit from their affliction. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 6, 3-10, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, 1 Thessalonians 3, 2-4, 1 Peter 5, 8-10. And he makes them partakers of his understanding. As our guide, God leads us in the way that we should go, and also he directs our steps. Truly happy are those who understand God's guidance. God reassures us of his promise so that we may experience his blessings through obedience. The sooner we obey, the sooner we will experience God's blessing. He promised to teach us and to lead us in the ways that we should go. He reassures us that he is with us all the time. Being secure in his presence, we have nothing to fear. Our lesson tonight deals with the fact that even in the beginning, Israel, God's people, were very hard to lead. They were very hard to guide. And so it is today. People are very hard to lead and very hard to guide. I hear people speak all the time about the African-American community and where are our leaders. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, we eat our leaders. Whenever someone steps up to lead, the first thing we do is tear them down. We are the most difficult people to lead anywhere. There's never been a people on the face of the earth who have been so obstinate, so resistant to change, so resistant to moving together as we are. We are so hard-hearted that we cannot fully benefit from the prophecies of God because we do not submit to the obedience of God. Lead me, guide me. This should be our statement every day in our prayers to the Lord. Whenever we speak to him, we ought to ask him to give us the understanding that we can be led and that we will obey his concept. You can't be a leader unless you can be a follower. And so it is tonight. This is our lesson. Lead me, guide me. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some of those who are in the studio tonight or on the line tonight who may have some words to say about the lesson. It is a very important lesson for all of us, particularly for those of us who are in the house of God, who are in the church. We need to know how to be led by the Lord. And we need to know that when God leads us, who is leading us? Just like the people of Israel, he wanted them to make sure that they knew that he was the one that was directing their path so that they could not or could not attribute it to someone else or to something else. We always want to contribute something to someone else. We use the term, I was lucky. I prefer to use the term, I was blessed. We always do things to make us feel like we are doing it on our own, but we're not. Whatever happens is in the will of God. I'm going to go to the line. There may be somebody or some those in the night who would like to speak. If you don't like to speak, you don't have to. It's not mandatory. You don't have to speak. I know some people just simply want to listen. You could just simply say, I'm listening, and we'll move on. Let's start with the top of the list tonight. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor, this is Deacon Fuller. I was just listening, tuning in, listening.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Hold on. I'll come back to you with a question.
Okay.
Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Reverend, this is Maine.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
I enjoyed the lesson. One thing I wanted to say here was that, you know, I agree that some people, you know, like you say, they're so stubborn, you can't lead them, nor guide them. And when it says that the muscles was like iron,
mm-hmm.
Now that is stiff, that is hard there.
Mm-hmm.
That's stepping
mm-hmm.
right there.
Yeah.
And in this lesson here, you know, God who was pointing out, you know, all these former things, and you know, he announced it way back and to them, and it happened. And see, God and the people, they had a history. And so maybe the new things themselves were necessary because of the people's past and the,
amen.
You know, and the consequences, you know, that they had entailed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of
that. Amen. I agree with that. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Good evening. Yes, I'm on the line. This is Sherry.
How are you tonight?
And I'm well. How about you and everyone?
Doing good. Doing good.
Good. I agree as well that we are a people that are so hard-hearted nowadays. And as you were saying that, I was kind of thinking, I think we as a black people have been through so much, not making excuses, but we've been through so much that we have become so hard-hearted, and we have forgotten something that we had a long time ago, which was God. We still have him, but a lot of people have dropped him is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm,
they don't
mm-hmm.
carry with them anymore. So mm-hmm. they become so hard-hearted that when a situation comes up, they end up doing wrong instead of putting God first and going to God and trying to work through a situation.
Right. I understand that. I want to piggyback on that. You said that we've been through so much as a people, which is true. We have. Don't you think that that would make us more readily available to learn something new? Don't you think that? I mean, how do you look at that? We've been through a lot. When you go through a lot, don't you learn from that? I mean, don't you? How do you explain that?
Yes, the majority of us, yes, you would. You would learn from it and try to take it into a different direction. But I just really think so many have forgotten God mm-hmm. and what he can do and what he's about that they don't. They just try to handle things themselves and just have become, I guess, mean.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 2534. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers. It's Deacon Taylor.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing good. I'd like to, number one, thank you for, once again, help breaking down the prophecies in the Old Testament, namely Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm truly a lover of the Old Testament. I would also like to piggyback off of what you said and what I believe Sister Sherry was talking about. Why wouldn't we turn to God instead of turning away from God because we've been through so much? As the song says, down through the years, we've lost a lot of teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We not only let others divide and conquer us, but even after when someone was physically doing it, we kept that in our own minds and hearts, and family has been torn all the pieces. Not saying it's over with. Not saying it's family has been completed or outdone or kaput, as they said, but it's been shredded up very bad. And when you lose those teachers, I can only use myself as an example right now. When you lose those teachers who take you to church and form your hands for prayer and push your head down, showing that, you know, you need to be humble and that you're not looking around, nothing else has your attention, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is giving God praise and praying to God. When those little things like that get taken away or missing, you miss a whole lot, even with mm-hmm. your ears. When you hear it some other time, if you don't have that teacher, you'll miss a whole lot in your lifetime. And that's definitely pertaining to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Let's go to area code 609-9126. That's you, isn't it, Deacon Taylor? 9126.
No, sir.
That's you. Okay.
No, sir. I'm a 9.
9126.
No. I'm
25.
That's Sister Francis.
Yes, Miss Francis. Thank you for the lesson. Good mm-hmm. evening. Thank you for the mm-hmm. lesson. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'm just listening because of basically Sherry and as Mangum said, pretty much what I was thinking and feeling. So I'm just listening at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you. 919, last four digits, 6043. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. I enjoyed the lesson. Mm-hmm. Going on here because I keep going in and out, so you might hear all, and I might break up a little bit. But on verse 48, when it mm-hmm. said, again, Lord appeared to the people of Israel as their Redeemer, their God, their teacher, and their guide. And then it went into, if they had obeyed him, they would have enjoyed peace, righteousness, fertility, and an unending fellowship with him. And that, mm-hmm. That came from verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got something that I found. I want to run this by you. As far as mine is evil from the womb.
Transgressor from the womb.
Down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, transgressor from the womb. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I ran across something that said that this may have been an issue, that Judah had been in the state long enough that new generations were being born, and they were taught, may have been taught false traditions from the womb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's definitely true because when parents learn.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do, because children learn what their parents teach them, and what he was saying that from even well, thank you because that's a different level. What he's actually saying is that even when he started them as a people, he knew they would be transgressors mm-hmm. from the womb. Now, you've added another dimension by saying not only would they be transgressors from the womb, but their children would be transgressors from the womb as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another element. That's exactly right. I'm glad you brought that up. The lesson doesn't go into that, but you're exactly right because children learn from their parents. And these mm-hmm. transgressions are passed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
So you're exactly right. From the womb, they were transgressors from the womb, and that is part mm-hmm. of that message. Go right ahead if you want to add something else.
Oh, I think you mentioned that they were mumbling as
uh-huh.
soon as they began the march to Canaan. Hello?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm here. Uh-huh. I'm here.
Yeah, I think you mentioned about they were murmurers, you know, mumbling, complaining as soon as they started the march to Canaan.
Right.
When they began the march.
They're right. That's right. They were always complaining. They were always murmuring. They were always complaining. They were always finding fault or not following instructions as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add?
And I missed my phone went out when you were talking about the brow of back of the brow is bad when you started talking about the different descriptions. One of them was the iron and iron
sinew,
and the second was the,
Yeah.
What were
you
saying
he was
about the brow is brass?
The brow, the mind is hard to penetrate the mind. It's hard to penetrate their head or their brow, or get it through to them. You know, people letting them know how hard it was.
Hard-headed.
Exactly, hard-headed and hard-hearted. I guess those two words go together: hard-headed and hard-hearted. And what he was saying is that their hearts were hard, and so were their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, uh-huh. Let's see. I want to go back to Deacon Fuller. Are you still there? Deacon Fuller, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Pastor. I'm listening.
Okay. I want you to kind of explain to us. It says that those whom God redeems, he teaches. And those whom he chooses to deliver out of their affliction, he first teaches them to profit from their affliction. What do you mean? What do you think that means?
Let me go back to what verse is that? That's verse.
It's not a verse particularly. It's something that I mentioned in the lesson, and it really goes back to what Trustee Mangum was talking about earlier. We talk about those whom God redeems, he teaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those who he chooses to deliver out of their affliction, he first teaches them to profit from their affliction. What do you think that means?
He means, I think the lesson that is learned from their affliction of them bringing them out, by him bringing them out, they profit in that way of understanding that he can bring them out.
Right,
And that's what, I think that's what that means.
I think you're absolutely right, because see, what he's actually saying is that, just like Ms. Mangum said earlier, we're hard-hearted, and then Sherry came back and said, we've been through much. Now, if we have been through much, this is what he's saying.
Uh-huh.
He said, those who he redeems, he teaches. And those who he choose to deliver out of their affliction, he teaches them to profit. In other words, you ought to learn from your experience. That's what he's saying.
That's right.
So if we are to learn from our experience, why is it, you think, that we have not learned a very valuable lesson to be led by God? Particularly after we have read stories about how God has delivered others before and how he delivered us as a people many years ago. It seems to me, and it's just me, that we would learn from our mistakes. We would learn from the things that we have done wrong. And maybe that's part of what the hard-heartedness is. You think?
Yeah. That carnal mind, when you have come up, that you can make it on your own devices, that you can make it through what you can see, what is tangible, has poisoned you in the fact that you can't, left God out of the equation, and that's why we keep falling into this trap. I don't have enough money in the bank. Well, have you asked God for the money? Put money in the bank. I don't see how you can bring this. Treat me for this cancer. Well, didn't he treat you for the headache? Didn't he treat you for those little minor things? I think it's just that we have settled, and all of us are guilty of it, of seeing what we can see and what we can touch, as far as you know, reaching out for you know, things that are tangible to help solve a situation instead of relying on God. We forget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Absolutely. Before I go, Trustee Mangum, the problem with us, as I opened up tonight, I talked about when we have these problems, many are searching everywhere except for the Word of God. Why is it that we run everywhere except to God?
I would think because we're not rooted and grounded in trying to, well, matter of fact, I don't think people read the Bible enough.
Mm-hmm.
And those that do read it, maybe sometimes that we don't get a good understanding
mm-hmm.
of what we have read, and so we have to go back and read other things, you know, mm-hmm. to help us mm-hmm. understand that mm-hmm. we have already read. I think I'm going the right direction.
Exactly. Go right ahead.
And then sometimes people mm-hmm. just know that they just know that I'd say a little faith, you know, you put your faith in other things instead of into God.
Right. And even when we do read the word, we try to make it say what it doesn't say just so it can excuse mm-hmm. our behavior. How many times have we heard mm-hmm. people twist the Word of God?
That's
you know, they'll twist the Word of God just so it can explain away their situation or explain why they do what they do, you know. So we do a lot of that, but we need to learn how to be guided and to be led by the Lord. And the sooner we do that as a church, as a people, as a family, as a group, we'll find that we can walk easily in this world once we have been led by the Lord. We always sing that song, Order My Steps. You know, but yet when he orders our step, the question is, do we actually go in the way that he orders us to go? You know, we always want God to order our steps, but do we actually go in those steps that God orders? You know, that's a good question. All right, I thank all of you for being on the line tonight. I thank you for bringing clarity to the lesson. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, I thank you for those who have been on this line tonight, who have gone into this lesson. Lead me, guide me. We have heard excellent reviews of the lesson tonight. We've heard some good points that have been given by our listeners. We pray, God, that these words sink down into our soul, that those who will hear this Bible study later will be able to add their own understanding and their own meaning to your words, Father. We pray, God, that as we go forward from this day, that we be a people that can be led and be guided by you. Father, we know that we cannot walk without holding your hand. So God, lead us, guide us along the way, and we'll continue to give your name the glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all tonight.
Amen.
Good night.
Y'all have a good night. Don't forget, fifth Sunday, we're virtual, fifth Sunday.
Okay.
Amen. Okay.
Be blessed.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Uh-huh.
Keep the faith. Don't give up.
Keep on doing. Because it may not come when you want it.
It may not come when you want it.
He may